Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands. Hello, friends.
What up?
What's going on?
Welcome to 2019, old son.
It's the 19th of the 2000s, the year.
Correct. You know, before we get into actually starting this podcast,
okay.
I was thinking of something. Looking at a vehicle, it's a 2003. And I realized that vehicle is pert near almost 20 years old. Like, we're a lot closer to 2020 than I think most folks give credit for.
I think so, and in my mind, same thing. Like, you see a early 2000s vehicle, and you're thinking, man, this thing's still brand new.
Yeah, I think it only got 120,000 K.
It's above 2000. I mean, come on, that thing can't be more than 7 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
Okay, so I got a quote for you. I want you to guess who it's by.
Okay.
There's a line here that should give it away.
Okay.
There's a fine line between being practical and being a candy ass, which is a word my father used to describe someone who he considered to be the opposite of tough. Because I'm very afraid of becoming a candy ass, I'll sometimes do things that I know to be impractical just so I don't have to worry about being a candy ass.
To me, that sounds like Ranella.
That is Steven Ranella, an American Buffalo,
you know,
in search of a lost icon.
I just got that book.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ordered it, didn't you?
I did. I needed to fulfill my Amazon order.
Yeah.
I was getting some quad parts, and I needed to bump it up, so I figured, well,
may as well get some reading material.
Yeah. I haven't even cracked it open yet, but I do have it, so that's on the list.
No, absolutely.
I got a few things on the list, but that's near the top, so.
Hey, I've seen you got the new Ranella cookbook.
Yeah.
Try anything out of there yet?
A
couple variations on things, at least?
A couple variations, yeah. It's been good. I'm really itching to try the venison ribs.
Yeah. Did you save your ribs this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
That's one thing I didn't say this year.
Oh, I'd never saved them before, so yeah. I figured, well, you know, maybe I should this year. And I'll tell you, using the normal hacksaw doesn't cut it. I need to get a real bone saw.
Yeah.
That definitely would help.
But, absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, it'd be something to try those tomahawk steaks, too.
Yeah.
That Dudley always uses, but I like kind of having a, as you folk who say, a backstrap. I'll say a loin.
A strap.
A loin in, like, intact, like it should be. So
yeah. If you get more than one animal, it's like I think that's where I was excited to try. You know, if we would have tagged out in the white shell, I think I was excited to try different things, different cuts that I wouldn't normally try. Because I enjoy having backstrap steaks, right? Having them as steaks.
Yeah.
Loin steaks as the educated, well, maybe a little uneducated there.
Edumacated.
You
gotta open your whole mouth when you
apparently
take a sip of your beverage.
But yeah, so, I mean, there's always next year. And this year. Yeah, this year, it's coming up quick. I mean, we're 6 months out.
Yeah.
6 months from the start of bow season.
Yeah. Start of elk season.
Start of elk season.
In some locales.
Here, hang on a second. All right, go get the thing. I'll ramble a little bit here. So, yeah, I guess leading on to some plans that we have here. We'll get into it maybe a little more later in the podcast here, but we're 6 months out from the start of hunting for archery, anyway.
Oh, it's a little dry.
Yeah, you gotta get her moist.
Yeah, archery opens in August, end of August. There, that's my bad elk calling for the day.
That's the progress, old son, progress.
It was sitting on the dresser for a week and now completely bone dry.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta get one of them little cases for it.
Yeah.
And then dry out is bad.
Yeah. But
so yeah, I guess
I'd like
2019?
I'd like to, ideally it would be nice to pick up a few more of those elk calls and put them to real use.
Yeah, I think this year either one of us has a pretty good chance of drawing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of area that we can put in for.
Since we are residents of Manitoba.
You know what? The archery numbers are actually pretty easy draws. I mean, not a lot of people want to hunt them archery because they're hard to get close to and they're not rutting. And the way our season is anyway, they're not rutting for the first while of archery. I think actually the whole archery season, it's not really the rut. Unless, you know, we get a nice cold snap there late fall that would maybe push them to start. But
hey, why don't you come a little closer here?
Yeah.
They're going to be fading away on the volume.
All right.
There's your second Rogan moment.
There's the Rogan moment, yeah.
We need to get some real microphones in here one day.
Well, 2019.
The year of opportunity.
The year of opportunity.
There's 11 months to go yet.
I guess
in the year.
Oh, yeah. We got time.
This is February 2nd, 2019.
Correct. Month of love.
Is that true?
Well, Valentine's Day. Things usually start warming up around February.
Heat-wise, yeah.
Yeah, that's when...
Weather-wise?
Weather-wise, yeah. Usually start getting out of the cold, but...
out of the cold funk.
That being said, this winter we've had this year, I tell you what, we are very lucky and blessed to have the winter we had. I think it's going to do great things for the deer numbers. I mean, think about it. We didn't really have a good cold snap till last end of January.
Yeah.
Like last week. We were sitting at minus 50s, but...
It wasn't exactly warm around Christmas again, but it wasn't super cold.
Well, Christmas, I was snowmobiling in just a jacket in my Carhartts.
I can't remember.
Absolutely.
That was over a month ago.
Yeah. No, it wasn't... I mean, it was like minus, 22, but not like... No wind. It wasn't brutally cold. Like, we've had winters where it's been minus 50 on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day of 17 was minus... 17 was... It was brutal. Bad.
Yeah. None of the... We had people that got stranded at our house. I'm not stranded, but they couldn't... Their vehicles wouldn't start. It was so cold.
Well, hey, that's going to happen in this day and age.
Yeah, that's...
In any day and age, that's...
And then they say global warming. Mind you, this winter, like I said, we've had a very mild winter.
Well, the climate does change.
Yeah,
that's the way she goes. It comes and it goes this way and that way.
Peaks and valleys, right?
Yeah.
But
just like everything else.
Yeah.
Just like the deer population goes up and it goes down, it goes up and it goes down.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's something that I don't think we talked. Well, we talked a little bit about it.
We touched
later,
it briefly.
But what do you think next year is going to look like? Do you think it'll be same numbers or not numbers, but same hunting privileges, buck or doe?
I'm thinking they're going to bump the number up.
You think so?
They're going to go harvest.
Go one of each? Like you're allowed one of each?
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I'm kind of leaning to the side of, I'm thinking they're going to give us two deer in most area. But I don't know what they would do, like a buck and a doe, or they do, $2, or would they do... No,
they're not going to do $2.
Two either or...
They're going to do two deer, one either... You can either take two does or antlered, unantlered.
Yeah.
It'll be two deer, one antlered. And then you can use your... If anything. And if it's not going to be this year, I think it'll be next year. Like, not 2019 hunting year, 2020.
Well, we've been saying this for... Or speculating that for the last number of years and... It hasn't really happened yet. So.
But now that they made one jump, right?
Yeah.
There's a chance they'll make
this
make
last another. Year with either or.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, hopefully, I mean, I would take a lot of, I wouldn't say pressure off, but pressure off the hunters maybe. For sure.
Well, I mean, unless you're like us, or unless you're like me in this last year where you literally had next to no... safe shooting opportunities.
Yeah.
At all. Like it was.
Yeah, but I mean, you also got it.
That's kind of on my own back too, though. But
put that in perspective a little bit. We hunted two areas where we both haven't hunted before, right? and we had no time. Like, had we been in there, you know, say in June, May, June, and been able to, you know, had we known we were going to be hunting those areas.
Well, I'm not just talking about that, though. The thing is, hunting the private land that I was on, I spent as much time there as I did in Sandylands or more.
I mean, you had some bad luck there, though, too.
Yeah, things didn't ever come to fruition there this year or this past year. And even my secondary spot in Sandylands, I had some opportunities. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say I had opportunities. I saw a deer.
Yeah.
But the timber is so thick, I just could never make a proper shot. So, but that's the way it goes.
But that's what I mean. Like, even in, like, if we want to take our public land excursions into account, we did nothing for preseason prep at all there, right? Not that you can do a whole lot, but yeah. We didn't do any scouting. We didn't do any...
The only
scouting we had done has been you out there snowshoeing and wheeling, yeah. Right? During years prior.
Yeah.
We didn't have a good...
And that's not in... That's in, like, December to May or something.
Yeah, exactly. Where we didn't go out and look. And that's, I think, one thing, at least for me, I'd like to do a little more of this year. Now, good Lord willing, you know, be able to maybe spend a weekend in Whiteshell and just shed hunt, right? Do a little early season scouting. Let's see where they're dropping. Let's see what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Or Sandylands. Let's go. Now that we know where there's deer, right? You had trail camera locations and we both had sightings of deer and, you know, we have ideas
close
of
where calls.
They are. Very close calls. You know, we can do a little shed hunting, do a little preseason scouting and start putting some notes together on where these animals are moving between June and hunting season. Because
things change with the seasons.
Well, exactly. And if you can get a good idea of what they're doing in June to August, you're going to get a fairly good idea of what they're going to be doing early bull.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to change so much as... It will change from bow to rifle.
Or muzzleloader rifle, yeah.
Yeah, because now you're getting way colder weather, a completely different diet, and they're breeding.
Yeah.
So, I think, at least for me, that's something that I'm definitely throwing... I want to put my hat in there, and then, I mean, depending what we put in for, I mean, we've talked lots about doing elk this year.
Yeah.
At least putting in for it. There's moose we've thrown out there. We've thrown speed goat out as an idea, you know, for a hunt, possibly. Yeah. And
then, of course, there's also other things you got to worry about, like buying a house.
Buying a house.
Buying this. A new truck. Buying that or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as my opinion and hopes for this fall, I do think that I'm really hoping that the tags will increase in quantity.
For the whitetail.
For the whitetail, yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, a little segue here.
All right.
One reason that I tend to think that the huntable count will go up is that, you know, other places are experiencing this, but as far as I know, we have no confirmed cases of CWD in Manitoba yet.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's something that's really cool.
So if you're not familiar with that, which most of you probably are, but CWD is chronic wasting disease. And it's big in the States. Well, I shouldn't say big.
It's fairly big in the States.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's big in the
States. It's a neurological disease that occurs in members of the cervid family. So deer, elk, moose, caribou, and... So yeah, it's neurological, so it's messing with the brain. And it's very similar to mad cow.
Yeah.
And what do we have here? They say it's always fatal in cervids. There's no vaccine. There's no cure.
Then basically from what I've heard and what I've read a little bit online, it's they're thinking it started
in Colorado.
Yeah. Roughly 60s, 65-ish.
Yeah.
1960s, 65. From sheep. And it just kind of worked its way down. It travels a lot through blood and urine, saliva.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. So predators will actually carry it.
Yeah, predators usually aren't affected by it as far as I know, but they can transfer it.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate because...
I mean, it moves and...
Critters travel, right?
I mean, it can be... I've heard of cases as simple as water hole. A deer that's infected with CWD drinks out of a water hole and the parasites are now in that water hole, watering hole, right? And, you know, your big 10-point walks in and takes a little drinky-poo and...
Next thing you know, he's got chronic wasting disease.
Next thing you know, he's dropping dead. So, it has been in Canada, Saskatchewan. We're pretty much surrounded by it here in Manitoba.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's anything in Western Ontario as much. I haven't heard.
But it's been really close to our border of Saskatchewan,
and also south towards swampland.
Yeah, in Minnesota and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they say it's been found in more than 25 states and 3 provinces, as well as other countries.
Yeah.
So not just Canada and the States. But according to the Manitoba Wildlife Federation website, testing of deer and elk in Manitoba over the last several decades has shown that CWD is not present in Manitoba. No. But like I just said, it's been detected within miles of the border
of
Saskatchewan. So
I was listening to a guy speak on this, a scientist, I guess, and it's kind of crazy because the parasite can survive minus 100 degrees Celsius.
Really?
Yep. It can't be frozen out.
Hmm.
It can't be baked out. Like, a forest fire wouldn't take care of it. And it can sleep in the ground for decades without moving. And it gets stirred up, and it spreads. So what Manitoba has done now... has said there's no meat to be brought into the... No wild game.
No unprocessed wild game.
Which means bones. It all has to be deboned. You cannot bring a spinal column or a head of a trophy, like a killed deer. You cannot bring it in without getting it tested. And they're actually asking everybody on the south of the south...
The south
part of the province, within 3 townships of the border.
2 townships? It's 2 townships.
Is it 2?
It's 2. So that, I believe that would mean 12 miles. Because a township, I think, is 6 by 6 miles in a square. That's a township. So that would be 12 miles north of the border.
That doesn't make sense.
Sure it does.
No, because our in Gruntal, we're 23.55E. That's section township range. So we're township
five. You're not within that.
But 6, if it's 6, 12, what's 6 times 5? 25, right?
6 times 5 is
35. We're not 35 miles.
No, that's 30. You don't have to submit.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying for submitting. I'm saying I don't think it's a township 6 by 6, 6 miles. That math doesn't add up. Because Gruntal is more than 30 miles from the border.
That has nothing to do with that. The Gruntal township doesn't stretch all the way to the border.
I know, but you said a township
is
6 by 6, 6 miles by 6 miles. Yeah. So you're saying that 12 miles from the border has to.
So it's 2 townships.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So 36 square miles.
I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Normally 6 miles by 6. Okay, you're right. So then, by that logic.
So 2 townships. So that would be
12 miles from the border.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you. But I wasn't agreeing with the math that it was 6 miles by 6 miles.
Okay.
Because Gruntal being township 5, it didn't make sense to me that Gruntal was 30 miles. Because you're doing 6. Like, if you were to stack 6 or 5 townships from the border, do you know what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
That makes sense? I'm not getting
it. But does that necessarily... I don't know how they grid those out exactly.
Oh, it says 6 by 6.
No, but I mean as far as numbering them.
Oh, that way. Yeah, maybe it's different. But actually, what's 30 miles in KMs?
I don't know. But, whatever. It is what it is. So,
anyway, the southern part of the province, 12 miles up, is asking to submit any samples. It's not mandatory yet. But they are asking hunters to send it in. This is something that could really do damage on.
Yeah.
So it's 9.7.
By 9.7.
So what's 9.7 times 5? do some quick math here. We want to make sure our viewers are informed.
What was it? Listeners.
Viewers, listeners.
9.7 kilometers.
5. That'd be 50K. That's not right.
No.
Because Sprague's like 100 and some.
From what?
From Grandpa.
And what does that have to do? What's the number on Sprague?
Well, by that math, Sprague would be 2. Like
two
our
what?
Our township would be 2.
I don't think they rank them like that.
Well, let's find out. Sprague Township.
See, the thing is in
unless it goes across, maybe.
I think it might go across. It's really hard to find information on townships in Canada. For the most part. As far as I know.
Well, it says it's only an hour southeast of Steinbach. You know what? I would have it at home. That's the thing.
I don't think that they necessarily number them like that.
Maybe not. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't make a difference to our listeners.
So, like, it doesn't make a difference at all. Anyway, so 12 miles is pretty much the cutoff.
Yeah. So, where I hunt, I'd have to submit. Or I'd be asked to submit.
As would I, for the most part.
You'd be all right on that cusp, though.
Nope.
No, you wouldn't. Never mind. I was thinking of somewhere else.
Don't you worry. I've looked at that long and hard.
So, yeah.
But let's talk about some symptoms, what we can look for in our game.
Absolutely.
So some of the most observable symptoms in COED in the latter stages of the disease include severe weight loss,
mm-hmm.
You know, animals looking emaciated, so all shrunken and, you know, looking like a prisoner of war, pretty much, you know. Changes in behavior such as excessive drinking and urinating, excessive salivation and drooling, drooping head and blank facial expressions, so kind of just
got not there.
POW or a prisoner of war. You know.
Time of porch lights on, no one's home.
Yeah. And there's no direct evidence that CWD has infected people, but they are still working on science of that, so we don't know for sure.
That would be a absolute... That would be almost... No, that's what we're looking for. That'd be like the kill shot to hunters. Especially in today's day and age. If we couldn't eat venison, like a lot of people around here, they would have some empty freezers if we couldn't eat it. Or we'd have a bunch of people walking around with CWD. One of the two.
Yeah. So it's not a bad idea. You can voluntarily submit any deer you shoot to get tested.
As of right now, yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, in the States, especially in Wisconsin, in the Driftless area.
Oh, but Mr. Duren.
Mr. Doug Duren. Shout out to that fella.
Absolutely. He does a great number for CWD.
Yeah, but they have a lot of it out there,
yeah,
so that's
a
problem. But they have kiosks where you can drop off your samples, and you can drop your carcasses there and whatnot, because they want to test like as much as they can.
They
got
to test as much. Yeah, they have to.
So, but it's good, though.
I mean, the downside is if you shoot a big buck, I mean, you're not getting those antlers back.
Yeah.
And your taxidermist is going to have to do a heck
no,
of a job.
No, you can get them back.
Yeah, you can, but I mean, like, you can't do a European mount with them.
Yeah, you have to cut the skull.
You
got to
cut the skull. You cut it right at the top.
Yeah.
Like every old man did back in the day on with that, they used to put on that felt.
Yeah.
You know.
Not for me, man.
Nah, I'm not a fan of that.
It is what it is. Some people like it and I don't.
Some people also dip their skulls. I'm not a fan. You know, Tyler Stanley did one actually just the other day.
Okay.
I'll see if I can bring it up. Maybe we'll post a... Shout out to that guy. TMD Outdoors. If anybody's looking for a dandy photographer, give him a shout. Give him a follow. Guy knows what he's doing when it comes to shooting things behind a camera anyway.
Yeah, I've been following him for a while. I didn't realize who that was, though.
Yeah, that's Tyler Stanley.
Let's see.
Good friend of mine.
It is mandatory for all hunters who harvest a white-tailed deer in GHAs 5-6, 6A, 11, 12, 13, 13A, part of 18 and 18B west of PR 366, 18A, 18C, and part of 22 west of PTH 83 and 27 to submit the head and upper neck to a drop-off depot within 48 hours of time to kill.
Oh, yeah.
It is requested that hunters who harvest a white-tailed deer within two townships of the U.S. border in GHAs 28, 29, 29A, 31, 31A, 33, 35, and 35A submit the above-noted biological samples. So yeah, it is requested. Yeah.
You know what the problem is with that, though? You know where the drop-off sites are? Dauphin.
There's one in Bossier, I think.
North of Bossier, yeah. That's what he did.
That looks pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I would do it. That's a deadhead he found, actually.
Okay.
I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah, sure. I mean, each their own, though, right?
Yeah, like, well, absolutely. That's the fun of this game.
Yeah. So.
But. So yeah, Manitoba.
There's drop-off depots in Roblin, Benito, San Clara, I don't even know where that is, Dauphin, McCreary, Grandview, St. Rose de Lac, The Pas, San Clara again. Ola, I don't know where that is. Wasagaming, Russell, Riding Mountain, and Swan River. What? I thought there was one.
No, they're all like... Good. That's the thing, like they're asking everybody to drive out a long distance to drop off a head.
Yeah, that's why it's requested only in our area, because there's no place to bring it.
Unless they're paying my fuel bill. Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Shout out to Theo Vaughn.
Come on.
Couple new listeners.
Yeah.
I think Manitoba's doing well with CWD, though. I think they're handling it right. I know they're testing for it.
Yeah.
Because you can't, what else can you do, right? Just wait and hope that it doesn't make its way into Manitoba.
And let's see. They're increasing their CWD surveillance in certain zones. Hunters may submit biological samples voluntarily along the U.S. border. Okay, we covered that. Sustainable development will test free of charge samples from elk, moose, and whitetails harvested within 12 or 2 townships of the border. Yada yada. We covered all that. Hunter should immediately report any small pea-sized lumps in the ribcage or lungs of elk and white-tailed deer.
That's TB.
Yeah.
That's bovine tuberculosis. Yeah. Yeah, if you guys ever find anything in the lung or in the rib lining where it looks like an air pocket, yeah, don't eat it.
Yeah.
That's bad news bears right there. Leave that in the bush.
Yeah, we don't want that here.
No. Well, it's here. It's well, just... Yeah. Like, you don't want to eat that, because that has some serious human side effects.
Oh, yeah. We don't want that.
You don't want the TB.
No. Let me see if I can find some of the importing laws.
It's got to be boned out.
Yeah.
Or processed, as they say, but that means boned out. You cannot bring the spine in unless it's been tested.
Page 61 for details. Let's keep going here, folks. We're a little behind the eight ball here.
Currently, it is illegal to bring into Manitoba a cervid, deer, elk, moose, or caribou that has been killed in another province or state without taking precautions.
Now, what are those exact precautions? Is the question. I have seen it before and I don't remember what it is. And I don't see it now.
So, it'll be right here. So, Manitoba Sustainable Development strongly encourages those who hunt outside of the province to check local regulations. So, that would be, well, that should be, I guess, with your local conservation officers. It's the importation of into Manitoba of native and exotic cervids is prohibited, which means illegal.
Without taking
proper precautions. But this one says just prohibited. The possession of scent and other substances that contain urine, feces, saliva, or scent glands is of cervids is prohibited. And yeah. So basically I think it was on one of the first few pages where it says you can't bring it in unless it's processed. It's something a big like banner right across the bottom. I think there's a picture of an elk with it too.
Here we go. Exporting big game. Oh, that's from Manitoba.
Yeah.
We won't import it. Like, there is ways to do it.
Yeah, you just
do your research.
Yeah, and make sure you take
precautions.
All the precautions necessary.
So,
But right now, we don't really have to worry about it because there's nothing being killed.
Just
yet.
Yeah.
Just time, really.
Like that Clint Black song, "Killing Time."
Not familiar.
It's good tune. Good tune. You should look into that. Clint Black.
Might have to.
Classic 90s country.
Oh, I'm sure I've heard it.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Just not familiar with it.
That's fair.
So, yeah, that's our CWD update. So, if you see anything funky, pay attention. If you see something, say something.
There you go. See something, say something.
That's a cop thing.
Oh, that's right. I think I heard that before.
Yeah. So,
it's still cold here.
Yeah, it's chilly. It's not as cold as it was. I tell you what, today minus 11 felt a heck of a lot better than minus 57 we hit at our coldest last week. And that was, I believe, last week, Wednesday.
That was a little cold.
That was vehicles not wanting to start or run properly cold. Tell you what, I went driving around on that Wednesday, I believe it was.
Okay.
And I started my truck at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it did not turn off till 5 o'clock at night. And I wasn't driving very much.
And you're not a believer in plugging in either.
No, I don't plug my vehicles in.
I think that's a little silly. I think you should be doing that.
I don't see the benefit in it.
It starts easier. It will start easier.
I totally get that, but I run thinner synthetic oil against that already.
Don't you get that power steering wine?
Oh, all the time. But that's not part of my block heater. Your block heater...
It will help with that.
Your block heater, the only thing that it heats is your engine oil, like your oil pan.
Yeah, but...
Your power steering pump doesn't run on engine oil.
I know, but that residual heat will touch that.
Never has. Not in this truck.
Well, it won't because I'm not plugging it in.
Well, remember last year? You know how many times you had to boost me? My truck was plugged in every one of those days.
I don't remember.
4 times. I do remember because I bought a booster pack finally.
Huh.
That was when I was off with, because I had my MCL torn up, remember?
That's right.
4 times. That vehicle was plugged in every, and it wasn't nearly as cold.
Well, that's different. That's your battery.
I put a new battery in. I got 980 some odd cold cranking amps.
985 amps, and it was 800 and some cold cranking. I looked at it yesterday.
That thing fires up like a dream. Minus 57 outside. Started
third. Now, disclaimer, that's with the wind chill, though.
That is with the wind chill. And did you know, apparently, and I can't confirm this, metal does not pick up wind chill.
Any inanimate object doesn't.
Yeah. Like, my uncle drives he's a train conductor.
Yeah.
He said if it's minus 10 outside, but it's minus 50 with the wind chill, the steel will still only be minus 10.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Never do that.
It doesn't have feeling.
Well, I get that,
like these tender sausages.
You think about it, right? It feels like it should because it feels colder, but it's the old skin that
the wind chill factor.
Yeah, which they say scientists are saying we shouldn't even use that because that's somebody making a opinion on how cold it is. There's not a whole lot of science to back up a wind chill.
Well,
think about it.
But there might not be so-called science to back it up, but if it's minus 30, and you step outside and there's not a drop of wind, okay, it's minus 30. it's minus 30 and it's windy as all get out outside, and you step outside, you're going to be chilled off a little quicker.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying you won't.
Now, look at summertime. If it's plus 30, or let's say it's plus 35,
yeah,
and there's not a drop of humidity, okay, that's bearable. That's fine. It's hot, but... And you tack that humidity on there, and you're going to be sweating a little bit faster.
Oh, no, I'm not discounting that. What I'm saying
can't
is...
Breathe.
We've had days where it's been minus 15 with a 30K wind, and, you know, it's been minus 22 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
But then we've had days where it's minus 20 with a 70K wind, and it's minus 22. I was reading the article.
There was a chart on that.
Yeah, I was... See, you're going on... wind speed, and that, I don't know.
I think you're a bit of a conspiracy theorist.
No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
You're a bit
theorist.
Of an Eddie Bravo.
No, no.
I think so.
I just don't buy this.
That's your fault.
No. I dress up warm either way. I'm never cold. Well, I shouldn't say never, but it was cold the last
time. Oh, that's fair.
The first time we went hunting in the white shell.
I don't know how to read Fahrenheit.
32 degrees is freezing.
Well, yeah, I know
and
that.
And minus 40 matches.
Yeah.
In both. You know what? It's funny. I was speaking to a girl from West Virginia. She was complaining that it was going to be, she said it was high teens for wintertime. Now, that's obviously Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I know.
And then I gave her she goes, where are you from? I don't recognize the number. I'm like, oh, I'm from Manitoba, Canada. She goes, oh, how's the weather out there? I said, well, we're sitting at minus 57 right now. That's Celsius. I said, for you guys, that's like minus 64 Fahrenheit. And she literally laughed. She's like, I never thought of that. I never thought that you guys could get that cold. I'm like, it was so cold that Grandpa Unger, his thermometer didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
His thermometer was reading zero. Like, the mercury yeah. didn't move. It was too cold for the mercury yeah. to move. Which is crazy.
Yeah. This is an interesting wind chill chart here. Look at this. So minus 10, if you've got a 60K wind, it's only minus 23. So that's only a 13 degree difference in feeling, per se.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
I know, but that's totally fine. Because if you have a lower starting temperature, your wind chill factor is never going to be as great.
Well,
that's
I get
just,
that.
That's just science right there. So there's going to be a ratio, or there's going to be an equation to figure this out for whatever. So let's say you have a minus 30. And you have a 60K wind, well, then you're going to be feeling minus 50. So you're going to have 20 degree difference.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? We've had minus 30 with a 20K wind, and it's felt like minus 50. That's what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely.
That's not possible.
Absolutely. Think about it. How cold was it on Wednesday? We were sitting at minus 35, roughly. So you're telling me we had to have...
It wasn't 57. It was...
Sorry. It, no. Without the wind, it was just under minus. It was just over minus 35.
So you're 37.
No, Hanover would have been canceled then. Hanover castles at it has to be over minus 35 without the wind chill.
Sorry, on Thursday it was. No, what day was it?
All I'm saying
it was Wednesday was canceled because it was
no.
Yes,
Thursday was canceled.
No.
Yes. No. Or then Tuesday. No, Wednesday was canceled.
Tuesday was canceled
in Grunthal because of fire.
Yeah.
But you're telling me. So it would have had to been over minus 35. So we would have had to have a 30K wind?
No.
That, look.
So on Wednesday, look. So minus 35.
Yeah.
It takes only a 10K wind, which isn't that much.
No, I get that.
To hit 45.
But it wasn't minus 45 with the wind chill.
It was over that.
It was minus 54. That's not true. It was minus 57.
I don't know where you saw that, but it was more like 52 or so.
In Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yeah, they don't go off that.
What do they go off?
Kleefeld. There's a station
in Kleefeld. I'm telling you.
It's always colder. It's always colder at Richardson.
No, it's warmer. It's always warmer in Winnipeg.
It's always colder at Richardson.
Winnipeg is 2 degrees warmer than rural Manitoba is, because concrete heats.
So at Winnipeg Richardson Airport, I checked this on Wednesday morning, and it was 2 degrees colder in Richardson than it was in Kleefeld.
Usually that...
As per the Government of Canada environment...
Like NavCan.
Blah, blah, blah.
I got you. Usually that's not the case. Usually it's warmer.
I wonder if it is like that because it's so open there, though. So
that is true. But I mean, it's an airport; it has to be open.
But I mean,
all I'm saying is, it was minus open too. Though. It was minus 57. I saw it on my phone. I saw it on a post on Facebook. I've seen it on Instagram. I've seen it everywhere. It was minus 57. So at minus 35, you're telling me a 5K wind change doesn't make a difference? Come on. That 5K wind difference is only going to drop one degree per 5K wind? Come on. That doesn't make any sense. That's so inconsistent.
What are you talking about?
So 5K wind difference from 10 to 15K. Okay, from 10 to 15K at minus 35, 2 degree difference. From 15 to 20, it's 1 degree? How does that factor? How does that figure? You're doing the exact same. There's no ratio there. Come on. Telling you, it's not an exact science.
What do you folks think? Send us your thoughts. Nobody wants to hunt in a wind chill anyways. Let's see here. Well, what do you folks think? You got any cool plans coming up this year? Any cool hunting plans? If you do, drop us a line. Tell us what's going on. We'll give you a shout out. We'll see what you have to say. I'd like to hear about it. I'm always interested to hear what people got going on. What they got planning for the year. You know? But, hopefully, it'll all work out for everybody. And we'll be back in no time. So there's an equation for wind chill, but we won't get into that. What's the next thing we can talk about?
Next thing we can talk about, besides me being right about the wind chill?
I think you're wrong.
I don't think so.
That because
I think I'm right.
You're not thinking in a mathematical mindset, but we won't get into that.
I don't need to think in a mathematical mindset to disagree. It's a mathematical
number.
Well, yeah, okay. Either way, irregardless. It's a
mathematical number.
Yeah, but then a mathematical number should still, on a ratio, has to remain the same. You can't say from 10 kilometers an hour.
Does it?
Absolutely. You can't say from 10 kilometers an hour to 15 kilometers an hour is a 2 degree change, but from 15K an hour to 20K an hour is only 1 degree. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm guessing that they're hiding decimal points and or rounding numbers.
Even.
So they will be rounding numbers.
But if you're moving from 5 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. It's not going to necessarily be the same. Your degrees
should still change at the same rate.
No.
Then so now you're going to have a double line doing this.
All right, hang on. Anyways, whatever the case is,
we haven't done the science. We're not scientists. We're arguing for the sake of arguing over the same point for
too long.
Pretty much this it's friggin' cold when it's windy.
It's cold and you're going to freeze your
Off.
You're going to freeze your delicates off if you're out there naked for too long.
You won't have giblets.
There you go.
So, anyways, CWD, we covered it.
We covered it.
Again, we have...
We've gotten a big old weather argument.
Yeah, that's exciting, as usual. What are some goals for 19? What's the goals? I don't see New Year's resolutions because that feels so tacky.
It is tacky.
I don't believe in New Year's resolutions because that gives you an excuse to fail.
But it also gives you an excuse to succeed.
Yeah, but I think most people choose to fail.
That's because most people...
Because that's what people don't realize.
Most people are just sheep.
Winning isn't an outcome.
Winning is everything.
Winning is a conscious choice.
Yeah, of working hard towards your goal.
Hashtag nobody cares, work harder.
There you go. And if Joe Rogan was here, he'd say conquer your inner female dog. To keep things clean. To keep the radio waves clean on this here digital radio program.
Yeah, we're all about the quality family entertainment. We want this to be something you can sit down and, you know, your kids will listen to.
For years to come.
Years to come. Good Lord bless it.
Good Lord willing.
So, yeah, what's your 2019 goals? Run 10,000 miles, or are you going to keep her at 9,000 this year?
I was thinking about 20,000, actually.
Okay, that makes sense.
No, my goal is 1,000 miles this year, as far as that goes.
Well, I did the math.
Okay.
And if you run 5 miles every day from January 1st to January 1st,
yeah,
you would run 2,020 miles, or 2,019 miles.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'm shocked you didn't. Did you run?
That would be impossible. Hang on. No.
Are we going to have another math argument?
Not possible. That's not. 2019 is not a multiple of 5.
Well, I don't know. I did 209. Here, let's do 2019 divided. Oh, dang it.
So if you run
2019 divided by 365 days, 5.53 miles. So 5.5 miles a day. You break 2019 miles in a year.
No. No, you'd be.
You'd be 0.003 of a mile off, which I'm sure one day you would run more than 5.5 miles.
That would end up being 10.95 miles short.
Oh, my word. Yeah, well, you'd have a day where you'd run 20 miles or 10 miles. You'd make it up because you wouldn't run exactly 5.5 miles every day.
Why not?
Because you do that. You do more than that in summer anyway. You do 5.5 miles twice a day.
I've never done that before.
Well, you've done more than 5.5 miles in a day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you do that twice. You do 10 miles twice over 365 days. You're sitting at 2,000 miles.
Yeah, well, I don't have the time for that. I'm not Cameron Haynes.
Cameron! You can find time. You would find time.
I could, actually.
You found time to run 800 miles this year.
Don't tempt me with a good time, okay?
Well, I'm not tempting you. I'm just saying. You can run 2019.
That would be called tempting me with a good time.
For 2019, you can just make it 1 mile every year.
If I run 1,000, it's like, I can't remember the math exactly. It's
the camera.
It's as you might not know, I do like to run, so I have to run 2.739726 miles a day.
603.
What?
603. Your phone only goes to
276. You did the wrong.
Oh, I did 03.
No.
2.739726.03.
That doesn't make sense.
My phone goes farther.
Dude, type in that again. I want to see it. I want to see you type it in. Yeah. Why does that cut off? That doesn't make any sense.
Because your phone just doesn't throw in the 03.
That's cause for...
Turn your phone sideways.
That's cause for comment. LG, what are you thinking? Oops, that's the wrong number.
So, actually, that was a rounded number.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
602-739-726.
There we go. Oh, now you're missing
the zero. Now I'm farther, yeah. So, you don't got to be that worried, old son. You can still hate on iPhone all you want.
So all you have to do is get 2.74 miles a day and you'll surpass that.
Yeah. Which, I could do that a day. I won't, but I probably could.
I think anybody could.
Yeah.
And you don't
have to. Your goal's not lofty enough, old son.
You don't have to run, you don't have to do it all in one lump sum a day.
No, you don't.
If you want, you can
go, I know.
You can go a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, whenever you have time.
Yeah, I know.
But,
So fitness, that's your goal.
Again.
Fitness.
Fitness burger here in my mouth.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Yeah.
No, I think this will be the year I get into a little bit better shape, just in case we do end up chasing elks or mooses or whatever. Yeah. Would be nice to, be in better shape for it anyway.
I guess I could say I have a goal to get a nice black bear this spring.
Absolutely.
But I'm not gonna, that's not one of those things where I'm not gonna freak out and get shaky hands if I don't, you know, like.
Yeah.
If I'd like to, but if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, you know, it's the way it goes.
Oh yeah, I think everybody has a hunting goal throughout the year. I mean, everybody that's serious about it has a hunting goal, right? But.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're.
Just want to spend as much time out there as I can.
Well, exactly, and experience it, right?
Yeah.
I know, I'm hoping to... almost seven.
Branch it out.
Branch. You're putting a few irons in the fire. I guess so. No, I think for me, I mean, obviously a little bit better shape, you know, maybe quit some of the old bad habits that I have. And I mean, I still have a goal of taking a world-class deer out of the white shell. I think it's possible. I mean, again, I won't be, you know, pissed off if it doesn't happen. I just think that that's a goal that, you know, if that means I got to hunt it harder, I'll hunt it harder, or maybe just hunt it smarter.
Yeah.
You know, now that we have some experience under our belts, I think there's a lot to learn there.
I'm on pace for that many miles. 1,061.8.
Perfect.
On pace.
On pace,
yeah. After 33 days of the year. That's including today.
Yeah. And then grow the podcast. I think that's a goal of both of ours anyway. You know, we'd like to see 1,000 views out of what we have. We'd like to get our view count up per episode. And I mean, we've talked a little bit.
Collaborate with some other fine folks.
That's what I was going to say. We've talked a little bit now in the new year about
some
opportunities, I think, that we can, you know, maybe take advantage of in the new year leading into hunting season.
Yeah.
You know, whether that be collaboration or maybe some new content, possibly, you know, in the future. And, you know, branch out into other things without, you know, making plans here. But
like Dana White, you don't make plans. You don't make fights in the night of the fight.
No, no. There's a lot of work to go into it yet, and a lot of conversations we have to have with
hopefully a few less people. Arguments about wind chill.
Well, once we're out of winter, I think that argument will be solved until next winter.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the perks of living here.
I suppose it is.
Daytona's
coming up.
Yep. Won't be making the trip out.
Oh, nice.
We decided to put the trip on, well, I guess cancel the trip for now.
A few too many concerns.
Yeah, a few things came up here, but I mean, it's all good. All good. It's for the better. UFC's had some shakeups.
Yeah.
I mean, Dillashaw lost to Cejudo.
Early stoppage, I'll say.
Yep, I'd agree.
That's all I want to say about that.
Yeah, we'll leave that one there. That's something we can agree upon.
They both look good, though.
Yeah, they did.
Cowboy with a big win over Alexander Hernandez. So he's looking for that shot against Connor, which...
could come.
It could come. I think it might.
Connor's still got a suspension serve.
Yeah.
He doesn't have lots left.
No, I mean, October. I think April. I heard April, I believe.
April, yeah. Would be 6 months from October.
Yeah.
John
Jones is fighting again March 2nd, I believe it is.
Alex?
Anthony Smith.
Anthony.
Lionheart Smith.
That's what I was going for.
Getting thrown to the wolves, buddy.
This weekend coming up, not to, in exactly a week, we have...
Whitaker and Romero. No, not Romero.
Whitaker and Gastelum.
Gastelum, yeah.
And Israel Adesanya and...
Anderson the Spider Silva.
Former welterweight great.
One of the best ever.
Absolutely.
And there's also Robbie Lawler and...
Ben Askren.
Oh, sorry. That's on the John Jones card,
actually. Yeah. That's going to be a great fight, though.
Yeah.
Now that he's finally in the UFC.
Yeah.
Nothing new to report in NASCAR. A couple driver changes, but new Ford.
Junior Motorsports has an extra car this year. He's bringing the 8 car to the Xfinity.
Yep. JJ, a new sponsor.
Ally Financial?
Yeah.
Insurance or something? Financial?
I think they're financial.
No, they probably both, I
guess. Probably. Most people do nowadays. I think it'll be Ford's year to struggle with the new car.
Except for the number 4 car.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be as dominant of a year for the big 3 as it... I think there'll be a new big 3. I wouldn't be surprised to see Blaney, Chase, maybe
Toyota in there.
Kyle Busch can wheel it, but he's got a new car.
And he can... No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, because they're... No, they're... The Supra won't be till next year.
Yeah. still have the camera.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe MTJ
MTJ's moving over to Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, but he's got his whole team.
Yeah.
Minus his pit crew. I think his pit crew all got laid off. But he's got Cole Pern, he's got
Clayton Hughes.
Clayton. I was gonna say Matt Hughes, that's not right. Clayton Hughes.
Third time this year. Stage winner.
It'll be interesting to see how he does. Come on. With Joe Gibbs. Yeah. I think with probably better, well, I shouldn't say better. I mean, he won a championship with Fernturo Racing, but I think they were still getting their engines and stuff from Gibbs.
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely. They were like a branch of Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, they're, the same thing the Wood brothers were to Penske.
Yeah.
Right, or R, I should say. A satellite team, I think is what they're called.
Yeah. Like a satellite bull, I've heard.
Yeah, or a satellite pump at the fuel station.
There you go.
Man, I had some good shower thoughts and I should have wrote them down.
Are we at that point already?
I don't know, I was just thinking of that. I told myself to remember to write them down and never did. What else? I mean, we're both looking at upgrading Bose.
What are you looking for?
I don't know. I mean,
let's have a little gear talk on Bose. Sure.
I've thought about a Hoyt. I don't know if I want to pay that much for a name brand. Probably not going to go APA. Because as we've discussed before, I'm not a big fan of the fastest shooting bow.
But they have a few different models that are a little slower as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't... fastest bow doesn't always mean hardest hitting bow. You gotta get into your kinetic energy, and speed doesn't equal kinetic energy.
Well, that has to do with your arrow and your...
It does.
Broadhead and et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speed definitely plays a factor in animals jumping the string, but... I don't know. I've said this before, I like a little bit of a heavier bow that sits a little more dead in the hand and...
Well, given, granted that, you've only tried one APA, right?
I've shot two.
Okay, well, there's more than two.
Well, I know there is, but, I mean, I'm not quick to make my mind up.
You can put the different stabilizer, you can do that Joe Rogan equivalizer thing. That looks kind of goofy, but...
I mean, hey, if you gotta put a quiver... It works. If you gotta put a quiver on anyway, might as well help it stabilize your bow, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Bowtech?
Yeah, I would definitely leaning towards Bowtech or Matthews. I mean, I wouldn't go. I have no problem going with another Diamond. It would have to be. I don't know. It'd have to be a bit of a heavier bow. I'm not so worried about lightning fast speeds. I want something that's going to hit hard. I want to run a bit of a heavier grain of an arrow and broadhead. Yeah. I want to change up my broadheads this year. I'll stick with Rage, but I'll probably won't go with the Hypodermics.
Yeah.
I'll probably go with something a little heavier set. I'm thinking about going, maybe I'll try a fixed this year.
Fixed?
I might try a fixed again. I used to shoot fixed all the time.
Yeah.
I had the Muzzy MX3s. They were awful. I hated them. They flew so bad. I mean, I'm open to trying anything, really. I need to go down to Silver Heights Archery and just pull bulls off the rack and start shooting them. Really what I need to do. But...
Well, you don't really know until you do that.
Well, exactly. I mean, I went to Heartland the other day. Well, not the other day, a little while back, and I shot a few bulls. I did shoot the new RX3, which is, I mean, such a slick bull, but, I mean, way overpriced. And you don't want to pay that much for a bull.
Well, no.
And I'm looking at spending a small mortgage
on a bow.
On an archery.
When you already have one that works.
Oh, exactly. And you know what? Like I said, the only downside I have to my bow is that I have, you know, it twists a little bit when I'm pulling back. So that bow isn't made to pull 70. It can pull 70, but it's not made for it, right? There's a difference.
That's
great. I'd like to go cam and a half. I'd like to try cam and a half.
Granted, though, it's, you know, our diamonds aren't exactly the flagship bow of a company.
No, like, absolutely.
It's more of an entry-level brand.
Absolutely, and that's, well, not. I wouldn't say an entry-level brand. I'd say that's an entry-level bow.
Well, most of the diamond stuff is fairly on the lower scale of price, whereas the Bowtech is more usually. That's more flagship kind of higher prices.
Yeah, but higher prices doesn't always mean better. I mean, you got to remember, you're putting how much new technology is there in archery, really?
Well, according to Hoyt,
I don't know. I'd like to know the difference between the RX1 and the RX3. Like, what is the difference besides it's a little lighter?
It's a little smoother.
Yeah. It doesn't have that back wall. Like, okay, cool. But is it really worth $2,700?
I don't think so, Tim.
I don't think so. And then you gotta put a sight on that thing.
Yeah. You gotta put a stabilizer.
You gotta put a quiver. You gotta buy a new release. You know, all sorts. I would like to try Prime.
Okay.
The old Remy Warren edition. I mean, it works for him.
Yeah.
Might work for me. I don't know. We'll see. See what's out there.
Yeah, I've still never shot an APA, so I'd like to try one of those.
They're smooth.
And I'd like.
The problem with you shooting an APA is you're gonna fall in love with them. That's identically your bow.
Yeah.
Like, that is what you've described to me as your perfect bow. That's what it is. It's light in the hand. Light in the hand. Although, they're long. Yeah, you should look into PSE. PSE makes a really short bow. Yeah. Like, their X-Force SS. Yeah,
I don't want one that I'm going to get lost. I'm carrying it, though. I mean, I want something, like, kind of in the middle, you know, between big and small.
Well, I believe the X-Force SS was 21 inches axle to axle.
See, that's a little small for me.
Yeah, it's tiny, but I mean, you're pulling 90 on that thing, it's packing a wallop. But it's a heavier bow.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. The longer you get, you might be able to cut a little bit of weight, but the shorter bows, they need to have that weight or else there's nothing to them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so what are you looking at for a new, because you've brought up before that you're looking at exchanging.
Yeah, with a bow, I mean, I've been thinking about probably APA or Bowtech. I mean, Hoyt is great and everything, but I've always been partial to Bowtech and to APA. So I think, unless if I don't find something there that I honestly like, I would go with one or the other. I mean, whatever the price point might be at the time and whatever feels good in the hand, right?
Yeah. Whatever fits nice on that nice new pack of yours.
Yeah. That Cabela's multi-day.
Yeah.
Ring.
Hey, I think this year we might have to take that thing out for a multi-day.
I wonder. I do wonder.
Have you ever done a multi-day hunting trip? Like, pitch a tent in the backwoods and...
Nope.
Well, son, we gotta break that.
Oh, that's not sounding very good.
That oak's got CWD. That elk's got CWD, that first one. That second one is healthy, but that first one was...
A little sick.
That needs to be put down.
Yeah. Put down, old son. Well, you have any shower thoughts?
Fright.
Any concluders, as Mr. Ranella would say?
Just that I'm excited for the new year. See what's gonna...
Bruh.
Come on.
Bruh.
Excited to see what the new year is gonna bring, both hunting-wise and I think personally, I think there's a lot of things on the table right now. I got a few irons in the fire, as some might say.
Bruh.
But, just looking... I mean, 6 months isn't a lot of time.
Yeah.
Once this weather starts getting nice, I'm going to start doing a little bit of shed picking and hunting out in the areas I'd like to hunt next year and see if we can't get a beat on a booner.
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 Yeah.
Maybe buy some catch and deer stuff this year, too.
Yeah.
I think a fella could use a nice vest. Fella needs a nice vest.
I need a nice vest.
You need to get a nice vest. Hey, that jacket you bought at Cabela's the other day, you wore it out yet?
I wore it a couple times. It's not warm, though.
Yeah, true. That's a spring jacket right there.
I'm not wearing that when it's minus 15 change.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I didn't even want to leave the house when it was minus 15 change.
I had to go to work.
Yeah, I know you got to drive longer to work yet.
Yeah.
You actually got to warm the vehicle up.
Yeah.
Not just jump in there and drive.
Dude.
Minus 50.
It's not warming much as it is.
Oh, you're not. Well, even you have to let it run or else you're going to send a rod straight through into the stratosphere.
Exactly, yeah.
But. You? Concluders?
Oh.
Any shout-outs to do?
Panoramico Doors.
Absolutely, yeah.
They seem like a good few fellas there. And
I had a conversation with them the other day, you said?
Yeah, they're doing some good work. They're hunting elk and hunting them big deers. And
you might have to bring a couple sons out.
I reckon.
Show us how to hunt them elks.
Yeah.
The Wapiti.
Check those fellas out. Check out the new Cody Johnson album.
Absolutely.
Banger.
Yeah.
Fellow hunter, fisherman, outdoorsman.
All around good guy.
All around good
Texan.
Guy.
Texan. Yeah. You know he's got a hand tattoo?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I was a little shocked.
It says, I think it says CJB on there. Cody Johnson Band.
Makes sense. But didn't picture him for the kind of fellow that would have a tattoo on his hand. No,
but I don't know. Looks okay, I guess.
Yeah, it looks all right. It might be for I'm different sure strokes for different folks.
I'm sure there's some hidden reasons that neither of us know.
Oh, yeah, maybe he's got a scar. That's his old tying in hand.
Every scar is a story.
He's an old bull rider.
There you go. Former prison guard as well.
Absolutely. Guy's lived a hell of a life.
There you go. Kind of reiterate, also excited for the year and see what it has to bring. And I'm looking forward to end of April, bear season rolling around.
Yeah, you're getting started a lot sooner than I am.
Yeah. And maybe we'll have you out a couple times this year. We'll see what happens.
Wouldn't mind.
I'd like to make one most important shout out. Our community lost a great member.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't sure if you wanted to go there. I wasn't sure if we're going to do that, but I think it's a good call.
Well, I think that we should.
Absolutely. We should do a little. Yeah. Yeah, we lost a. I would say staple.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be, what, 1,200 people at that funeral?
Probably.
Probably 1,000, 1,200 people.
If you imagine a fella that makes everything a little better, makes you want to put a smile on your face, makes you want to maybe live a little better.
Absolutely.
That's that fella.
Yeah.
And that gives you the excuse to do the things so you can see him again.
Absolutely. Someday soon.
Someday soon.
So, thoughts and prayers go out to
the Ungers.
The Unger family. For those of you that don't know who we're talking about, Ron Unger passed away suddenly. I guess that'd be a week ago.
Just over a week ago, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yep.
If you see the Unger clan around, you know, maybe shake a hand.
Lend a smile.
Give him a nod, you know, let them know you're thinking about him.
Yeah.
He will be greatly missed.
He is greatly missed already.
Already, yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't say
that. He will be greatly missed.
For many days to come.
For a long, long, long time.
Well, to not leave you guys on such a sad note, although it is sad.
It is sad.
We want to thank everybody for the last year of listening to a couple mugs battering through.
And getting into things.
I mean, you think about it, the old sons here experienced a lot in the last year. I mean, we're licking some wounds.
It's been a year of growth. We got part 4 licking our wounds.
Hunting and not killing things and not Yukon stories.
Barely catching fish.
Oh, fright. That's something we got to do more often, I think, come summertime.
Come summertime, we're looking.
Drop a line in.
We're going to go record an episode up on the body of water there.
Yeah. That bad boy body of water.
That bad boy. Talking about that BD body of water. Talking about that
uplifted teardrop. Like, lakes need more training.
They need some of that jujitsu.
Really, jujitsu. I thought that was a dog. Everybody, go check out Theo Vaughn and his podcast this past weekend.
He is funny.
He is a Louisiana hick with a mullet, but a great sense of humor. He does believe in a higher power. He talked about it on his Rogan podcast a little while back. Check him out. Check out
Panoramic
Outdoors. Give them a follow.
If you guys ever have any questions, drop us a line. If you don't remember who we are, I am Bushmaster25. My name is Dwayne Dirksen.
You can find him at Bushmaster25.
Yeah.
Or, obviously,
I run the Flatlands Fuel and Foul stuff.
Correct. And you can find me at TFreeze31. As of right now, that's it. Yeah, I'm locked out of the old Tall Oak Pursuit.
I can't figure that out.
Yeah, I can't get back into it.
You should give it a shot.
We'll see. It might die off yet. It was slowly dying off.
You know, it's funny.
I could just be a flagship co-host.
It's funny, though. the way the followers go up and down.
Yeah, you get a whole bunch.
You get a whole bunch, and then a few days later, it's back down kind of where you were, and then you get more, and back down, well, whatever, I guess.
Talking about peaks and valleys, old son.
Peaks and valleys. Ups and downs.
Crests. Ebbs and flows.
As we say in physics, when you're dealing with waves, you have crests and troughs.
Hips and valleys.
Antinodes and nodes. Hips and valleys.
Huh, that's roofing.
Yeah.
That's roofing terms. Anyway.
There you have it.
We'll see you in a, hopefully a few.
Hope you guys don't mind the wind chill factor.
Don't mind the break. The old couple old sons are just trying to keep warm here in the frigid north. And, we'll pick it up once hunting season gets a little closer. Fishing season's here.
Yeah.
I haven't been on ice fishing once yet.
I was out once.
Yeah, you've been home more than I am ice fishing. That's rare.
That's rare.
Yeah, I've been busy.
And I didn't catch a fish. I had one up to the hole and line broke, so.
Yeah, I seen that. Get on that 20-pound braided.
That 20-pound braided.
Talking about, like, you should see the braids on that thing.
That TPB.
We're not talking about a little, you know, 5-pound trot line here. No, get that. You should be ready to reel up a shark. Because jackfish, they'll come in. And they'll use their teeth and they'll rip that right off. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Them jackfish, they're slimy buggers.
Them snakes.
They're like, I don't know what kind of animal you compare them to in the four-legged world, but they'd be like foxes. They're sly. And
they're here to kill your chickens.
Oh, they'll kill your chickens. They'll kill your little dog, your cat maybe.
Yeah.
They'll raid your dumpster. They'll kill a raccoon if they want to. Like
they'll take your baby. Don't leave your baby on the step.
There's some advice. Don't leave your babies on the steps. Foxes will come get them.
Foxes are coming for them. So, no babies on the steps. Look out for your garbage. Your chickens are dead. Check your chickens.
Finish your ribbons.
Finish your ribbons, kids.
Finish your vitamin R's. Drink your coffee.
Stay healthy.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Run your miles. Get your activities in. And as Joe Rogan would say, CYIB.
She doesn't find you handsome, she should at least find you handy.
Hey. Whew! We're pulling for you. We're all in this together.